Look at you. This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. The state Senate had a monumental moment this past week. For the first time in any chamber, it passed a bill to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. This would expand the state's Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. And here with me to talk more about it is the man who has been working to make this happen pretty much his entire political career, Senator and President Pro Tem Jeremy Moss. Senator Moss, welcome.
Thank you, Shayna. This was the best day over the last 8 years that I've served in the legislature to preside over the passage of this bill.
Yes. Like I said, this has been a goal of yours since you were a state representative, and you presided over the vote when Senate Bill 4 passed. What was that moment like for you?
Really surreal. And I felt the weight of history on me, too. I'm the last leg of this race. There are people who have started this journey some 50 years ago that were waiting for this day to arrive to ensure that our community is recognized in our civil rights law, because for too long, people have suffered through real discrimination, fired, evicted, put out of restaurants and other places, denied healthcare just because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And so I really felt truly the weight of that moment and all of the people who were waiting for this majority, and those 23 senators, both Democrats and Republicans, to take that vote on their behalf. It was surreal.
Unlike in years past, where similar bills, usually written by you, couldn't even really get a hearing in either chamber, this looks poised to pass in the House and then make its way to the governor's desk for signature. What would making this expansion into law mean for Michiganders, especially the LGBTQ residents?
There are two ways to view this. It is significant to the LGBTQ community. It recognizes our humanity and our dignity, that we are no different than anyone else, and that when people discriminate against us because of who we are, there's a remedy to seek justice. So it's incredibly critical for our community as a whole. It's also important for the state of Michigan economically. The impact, the effect of discriminating against an LGBTQ person in housing and employment is that you're putting people out of the state and out of our economy as consumers and workers. You're preventing us from having job security. You're preventing us from having housing security. You're kicking us out of the state. And so this is good for Michigan's economy. We had two committee hearings, and one of them was just devoted to the business impact of this. And it was supported by our top employers, our top chambers of commerce, because this is a tool to retain talent. This is a tool to recruit talent, not just LGBTQ talent, but there are people who will bypass this state if it's not a state that promotes this type of equality, if it's a state where their kids can't grow up in, if it's a state where their neighbors are discriminated against. This is as much as it is important for our community in a very specific way. This is good for every corner of the state of Michigan.
And this really seems like one of those things that could not have happened without the Democratic majority that Democrats currently have in the Senate, House, and the governor's seat. In what other ways are we seeing the impact of that Democratic majority?
You know, we have been working feverishly to deliver on the goals that we ran on just in the last 2 months of our new majority. I think about the contrast of the last majority, the Republican majority. From July 1st to December 31st of last year, I think the Republicans called us into session five times, 5 days of session over 6 months. We didn't get much done. And so now that we have this historic Democratic trifecta, we flipped the Michigan Senate to Democratic control for the first time in 40 years. There were a lot of eyes on us asking us or demanding of us, what are we going to get done? Just in the past several weeks, we have delivered on those goals. We have passed some of the biggest tax cut measures in decades, including repealing the unpopular retirement tax, boosting the working families tax credit. We have put this important and historic LGBTQ rights law on the path to the governor's desk. We've begun the repeal of that 1931 abortion felony. We've moved forward on long stalled and life-saving gun safety legislation. So we are taking on some of the most consequential issues that impacts people's humanity, their lives, and their livelihoods. And we've done it all in just the last 2 months.
Going back to the Elliott Larson bill, a huge roadblock for this type of expansion in the past has been that Republican control in the legislature. But as you mentioned, there were some Republicans who came on board. There were three Republican senators who voted in favor of this bill. What makes them different? And based on your conversations, what was convincing for them?
I'm a firm subscriber to this Harvey Milk quote that he promoted some 40, 45 years ago, that coming out is the most political thing you can do. It more than any other data points and policy positions and polls. If you have a gay colleague, if you have a trans neighbor, if you have an LGBTQ family member, you're more likely to support their humanity and dismantle discrimination against them. So when I came into the legislature in 2014, we were having the same LGBTQ conversation, the same conversation around this specific Civil Rights Act, but there were zero gay policymakers at the table. John Hoadley and I were elected in this kind of historic first LGBTQ caucus in 2014. Now we have seven members of the legislature who identify as LGBTQ. I'm the first one to serve openly in the Senate. It makes a difference. But I will also say this. I have always said this vote would be bipartisan. I have always said we have the votes, but it was conservative, out-of-step leadership that would never put it on the board for a vote. And so I feel very vindicated in that this is not a partisan issue. This is not a political, democratic issue. I always knew and had counted the votes in the last several years. I always knew this would have been a bipartisan vote that would have gotten the majority of the Senate on board. Had we had leadership in place, that would have only just put it up. And it took a Democratic leadership team, including our leader, Winnie Brinks, to put it on the board for a vote. And lo and behold, 23 votes, including Republicans, put it forward, and it's now in the House.
The passage of this bill comes at a very difficult time for LGBTQ persons, especially trans people. The governor of Tennessee signed laws banning gender-affirming care for minors. He also signed a bill into law that restricts drag shows. There are similar types of these bills in other states. Was that on your mind as this was being passed?
Absolutely. And I want Michigan to be the antidote to that. I want Michigan, the things that we're doing to promote equality, to be just as impactful and just as loud nationally as some of these things that are taking us in the wrong direction in many other states. I want voters to know that when you vote for people to deliver change, they can deliver that change. And so I hope this is a motivating factor to those who are fed up by this hateful attacks against LGBTQ people. And as you mentioned, trans people have been over-targeted in a very dangerous way, that there is a way to change this type of madness, to organize, to support candidates that are pro-equality on both sides of the aisle. And unfortunately, it's only Democratic majorities that are getting these things done. But hold your Republican candidates to the test. Make sure that they're not falling into this extreme far right, horrible conspiracy theories against trans people. And put those legislators in place who can tackle real policies and produce real results, rather than some of these just awful attacks that are not rooted in fact and just amplify harmful information against the community. And so Michigan should be a beacon of light. Michigan should be held up as a state where our voters organized, We had this campaign here in 22 that the Republicans wanted to make a referendum on trans people and trans sports and all that. Voters rejected it. And instead, we now have a majority that's heading in the right direction on these issues.
Let's dig into some of these other big issues that you've been working on and that your fellow Democrats have been really hoping to tackle for quite a few years now, one of which is passing gun reform legislation. What is the Senate currently doing on that front?
This is another thing that, you know, we have been pushing in the Democratic minority for so long, these bills that would be proven to reduce gun deaths and injuries here in our state. And it was a Republican majority that never even gave us a hearing, never even let us debate these bills. Tragedy after tragedy, not just nationally, but here in our own backyard in Oxford, and everyday gun violence that plagues communities here in the state of Michigan. The Republican majority's response was to do absolutely nothing. And as a result, it continues to lead to more incidents, including this horrible tragedy at MSU. And I'm a Spartan, and so many are Spartans across the state that just felt the impact of that horrible situation. So we are renewing our efforts and putting forward some 10 or 11 bills that would mitigate these situations. We need to reduce these incidents, and we have the bills to do it, including strengthening background checks here in the state of Michigan, enacting red flag laws so that we can prevent a person who wants to cause harm with a firearm from accessing that firearm, and safe storage laws to make sure that kids don't have ease of access to firearms to hurt themselves or to hurt others. Every time that a gun tragedy happened in the state, we heard from the other side of the aisle, don't have this debate now because it will disrupt a community in grief. And then the next community is in grief because the legislature didn't act. This will be the majority that acts on gun violence.
Another area that you previously mentioned is abortion. Michigan still has some pretty archaic laws on the books regarding abortion. That being said, a ballot measure was recently passed ensuring that abortion rights are protected in Michigan. What is the plan there?
Yeah, so the first easiest thing we can do is get rid of that 1931 cruel, outdated, archaic abortion felony from the books. The voters put together a proposal that is now enshrined here in Michigan that protects reproductive freedom and restores the principles of Roe in the state of Michigan. So we have to undo all of the laws that are on the books that would disrupt that. And there is so much more we can build off of that. We have to protect reproductive freedom and access to healthcare for those who need it. And so we're doing a lot. You know, all of these issues could take up all of the oxygen in the room, whether it's guns, whether it's equality, whether it's tax reform. And we're doing it all. And we're not leaving reproductive freedom behind. And we're moving forward on that legislation as well.
Is there a concern that Democrats will go too far and alienate voters in the future? What I mean is you're tackling all of these issues that have been on the Democrat wish list for so long. Is there any concern that more middle of the road voters, more conservative leaning voters are going to say, oh, no, this is what we feared would happen if we put Democrats in the majority and that you would lose that power in the future? Are you trying to balance that?
So I think on many of these issues, they're incredibly popular, and I think we need to lean into that. It was our last leadership that served on the fringes. It was our last leadership that was not mainstream. They could have moved gun reform and most of the state would have supported it. They could have moved reproductive freedom and LGBTQ equality and most of the state would have supported it. They chose instead to Chase election conspiracy theories and COVID conspiracy theories, and they governed on the fringes. So I think many of these issues are coming up in a Democratic majority for the very first time, but these are mainstream issues. These are issues supported by most of the state of Michigan. So it feels like we are the for the first time, a majority caucus governing over the majority of the state of Michigan. And on top of that, because we have not had this authority to govern like this in the majority for the last 40 years, we have 40 years of pent up policy priorities. So it's hard to tackle, you know, these small, tiny issues when there are so many consequential issues that have been on the front burner for so long. So we're hitting home runs, but we're not neglecting the doubles and the singles that we need to hit as well.
Finally, you are also a vocal supporter of moving up Michigan's presidential primary date. What is your reasoning for that? I feel like this is an issue that is really both bipartisan for and very bipartisan against. What is your reason for supporting the moving of the presidential primary date? And is it looking like that's something that's going to get passed this year?
Yeah, so I'm very, very proud to serve as chairman of the Elections Committee. I served on the Elections Committee in the minority in the House when Republicans put up some 40 votes and 40 bills to make it harder to vote. I was a leading actor in the state Senate to dismantle those bills. Now, as chairman of the Elections Committee, I think it's a chance to give voters in the state of Michigan more access to the ballot and reduce barriers to voting. So I sponsored this bill to move up our presidential primary. The Michigan voter is incredibly important. And Michigan is a state that is way more reflective of the rest of the country, the economic complexities, the geographic and demographic diversity, and then the other states that are traditionally those early voting states. So if you want to be president of the United States, you have to come through Michigan. You have to be able to appeal to our urban, suburban, and rural voters in order to govern successfully nationwide. So we're now among the first tier of states that are going to be selecting the next presidential nominees. We have some, I know this is mishmash, so I know you like to get into the weeds of things and explain things to voters. We have one more hurdle yet to clear to make sure that this bill that did pass, my bill passed, it made it to the governor's desk, she signed it into law. We have one more implementation aspect to make sure it can be effective in time for the next presidential primary. I believe we will get it done, and it will be a huge win for Michigan voters to be able to have their say in the direction of our nation.
Senator Jeremy Moss, it's always a pleasure to welcome you here on Mishmash.
Proud to be back on, and appreciate the work that you do in covering us.
Thanks again to our guest, State Senator Jeremy Moss. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr., without whom a lot of this show would definitely not be possible. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, and our podcast interns are Ashley Harris, Patrick Burness, and Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to the show and you want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review. We really love to see those. Or if you really, really like this podcast, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give.